and Laughter and Coffee with Renee Bernard, women's fiction, romance, and laughter.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Canned Laughter and Coffee with Renee Bernard. I'm Renee Bernard, because there you go, that just makes sense that I would be. And tonight on the program, I have an author that's new to me. I'm going to be honest, and I'm kind of excited about this. I love meeting new people. I have Rachel Sparks on the program tonight. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
So, and you're a little shy. It's the, are you, you're afraid of, you have the best accent I've heard in so long, and it just, it's very, it just makes me feel all warm and wonderful inside. I love a good Southern accent, so.
Yeah, from South Carolina, although I wasn't born in South Carolina.
Really?
Ooh. I was born in Maryland, but my parents moved back when I was 2 weeks old, so.
Oh, that, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, that doesn't count. Yeah, no, you're pretty much a native. I hate to break it to you, yeah. Because I was like, wow, you picked that accent up. And I'm like, well, yes. If 2 weeks of age, yes. I'm sorry. I'm just, okay, no. No, there's no part of you that's a Yankee. I'm sorry. And if anybody's ever said that to you, they were wrong. They were wrong. That's not qualified at all. Okay. Well, I have to say, this is fun. I didn't know anything about, isn't that terrible? I'm supposed to research, but I never do. So tell me one more time now. So because I glanced at your website, so I took a peek, and I was loving it. It was a romantic suspense. You had historicals. You had just, I was like, it was fabulous. So you're really kind of writing your own path.
Yeah, I've got 8 books out, and I didn't want to be stuck in one particular time period. I wanted to be able to float around, so I've been bouncing between historical and now time, and I've played around with the idea of doing a sci-fi, but I haven't made it out that far yet.
That is pretty far to go. Consider. I mean, I just... I love that.
I just want to do a romance sci-fi, so why not? But I haven't made it out that far.
They exist. It's out there. It's a, you know, I think, you know, I love that you've given yourself room to run, and I think it's wonderful. The reviews on the site look really powerful, and you've got a new one out, and it's Love Heals the Broken. Is that right? That's your newest?
That's my newest one.
That's
yeah.
Your newest. Well, congratulations on your 8th baby, as they say.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I think about my books as my babies.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then when people say mean things about your children, it's always so hurtful,
yeah.
So hurtful.
Well, I've had some producers wanting to talk to me and everything, and when they tell me what they want to do with it, I'm like, you're not destroying my baby.
You have a good doubt. You're a stronger woman than I. I confess, if somebody called me and said they were interested in one of my stories for just fill in the blank, Hollywood, what I would just, okay.
Well, they tell you what they want to do to it. I was like, no.
Oh, was
no.
It bad? Was it bad? Was it like
bad.
Reenactment with cats and
just totally mutilated. I'm like, No.
Well, you know, writing romances, it's always a little different as an author. I find that sometimes people don't really take you very seriously but it is important, the stories that we tell, and you're standing up for your characters. You're protecting them a little bit. So that's very cool.
Yeah. My most hardest problems is my relatives.
Really?
Yeah.
Because they don't approve?
No.
Is there kissing in your books? Is there kissing?
Yes, there's kissing, and I use words like aroused and stuff, and they just...
That is a wicked word. Although I believe that one is in the Bible, I'm pretty sure there's something about arousing somebody's, maybe anger, but still, I'm thinking that word is in there, and I'm thinking you could probably link that one back, you know, and quote some Song of Solomon and just blow their minds.
Yeah. It's like, you know, your mother would be so disappointed in you.
No, she wouldn't. I think she'd be thrilled. My father was a minister. My father was a retired chaplain now, but my father was a minister, and I write romances, and my mother loves my books, so they are not necessarily the authority on what your mother would think. I'm just saying. So there you go. As a sister in romance, I'm just letting you know. But I have met other authors that use pen names very specifically because, you know, they teach Sunday school or they have something else going on in their lives. And they're, you know, they kind of keep it sort of like a secret. But you've just sort of, see, so you should be proud of yourself. You're just right. You're eight books in.
That's what my son, he's 21 now, and, you know, He's proud of the fact that I'm a writer. He said, you know, Mama, you always said you got these characters running around in your head, and thank you very much. You passed that along to me.
Ah, nice, nice. Very generous of you. That's very generous. I love that.
He writes, but he's also mainly into videos and stuff, making videos and stuff.
Yeah. But he should be proud of you. You are absolutely a writer. And it's challenging. I think that, you know, any art, you always have critics or people, but it's a very hard thing to have people talking to you in your head and not medicate or, you know. I think writing is a very healthy outlet for those of us that have that problem. So there you go.
I'll be sitting there, you know, and all of a sudden he'll be talking, and he's like, Mama, quit talking to those people in your head and paint it when I'm kind of sorry. This story, this part of this thing come in my head. I've got to write it down. I've got to do something.
Well, that happens. And where you stop suddenly and make a note, or you have the recorder on your phone. I use that app all the time. So it looks like I'm talking to somebody on the phone, but really I'm recording plot notes or snippets, and
notepads and everything everywhere around the house.
Yes.
Even in the bathroom, I'm like, never know.
Yes, and light up pens. If you haven't discovered this trick, Rachel, there are pens that have a little light in the tip. So at night, if you get an idea, you just click on the pen, and the light is in the pen, so you can take notes without waking up anybody. It's fabulous. Just FYI, I tell all my compulsive note takers, light up pens. I'm giving everybody light up pens for Christmas this year. Just so you know, the greatest gift you could ever receive is a light up pen.
Oh, yeah.
So, Love Heals the Broken is one of your contemporary suspenses, or is that a historical?
It's historical. It's set in Nevada around 1860s.
Ooh.
Wretched cowboys. Heroes had they been older, in their 40s and 50s and stuff, and so.
Okay. Men only get better as they get. I think that's fabulous. Are you the cowboy? What is it about that? That is amazing to me. That no matter what part of the country you're in, women seem to just universally find that amazingly appealing. Do you think it's just part of our mythology as Americans, or what do you think? Are they actually sexier than ordinary human being males? What do you think?
And it seems like they're more rugged, more, you know, tough, you know, stuff than a lot of ordinary guys.
It's the leather, isn't it? Go ahead and say it. It's the leather. It's all the leather and the thing with the. There's just something about
breaking horses and stuff.
See, you're saying this, and I'm just. And the naughty word aroused comes back to mind, and I'm like, you're right. There it is. How can you not use that word in a story with cowboys? I don't understand what your relatives are saying. There's just no other word. One would just fit right there. Oh. Tell them if they don't stop fussing that you will, in fact, spell out the cuss words. That's what I would threaten right there. Like, if you people don't, just stay out of my... I will put in the actual letters in between. That's right.
Well, I've been actually tempted to get a shirt that says, writing can be therapeutic or revengeful. Watch out or you'll end up in my novel.
I've seen similar. Yeah, it's like, watch out. You could end up in my next book. Cause, yeah.
Victim number one.
Well, now, wait a minute. That is the thing about suspense and the crime and the mystery. You get to actually kill people in your books.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So do you find yourself, when you're somewhere, Rachel, is your first thought, wow, that'd be a great place to hide a body, or wow, that'd be a great place to steal a kiss? Like, which direction does your brain usually go?
Well, that depends on where I'm at. If I'm near mountains, I think romantic. But if I'm somewhere like Walmart.
Yeah, but Walmart's not romantic. I can't. Yeah, I don't see any. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm sorry. There's probably a series of romances coming out based on the Great Wall, based on Walmart. It's probably the next big thing. And I called it. Somebody write down the time and date. I called the next wave in romance. They call it box store romances. I'm going to write that down. That could be my next. You never know. But, yeah, no, that's least romantic place on the earth, I would say, seriously, Walmart. I'm going to put that next to the bottom, really. There might be one other place that's worse, but it doesn't come to mind. Nope, nothing. I'm drawing a blank. So I'm going to put Walmart right on the bottom. So Walmart, see, Walmart, I'm thinking where to hide the body. Yeah, or... But I have friends where if we go to a winery for, I'm in California, so, you know, Jesus drank wine, so don't hate me. So, but seriously, I have friends where they'll go, and for some people it's like, oh, this is so romantic, I'd love to get married, amidst the grapevines, isn't this beautiful? And I'll look, and there'll be one person in the party, and they're kind of looking at the large vats, you know, these huge containers, and I know what they're thinking. They're like, a body could go in there. That would be a great place to put a body. And I'm just thinking writers fall into two camps, you know, lovers and serial killers. I'm just saying, there's two camps. So I just wanted to see which way you went.
Yeah. For my next book, it's going to be a little darker than usual. And it's just really weird how I come up with the idea to write it, but it's going to be really different, and I don't think people's ever thought of it.
That's good. That's what you want. That's fabulous. And, you know, and feel free to threaten to throw a few relatives under the bus, you know, if they don't start getting on board the Sparks train. That's all I'm saying. I think they should support you and be proud of you. And I'm telling you, you could go on a spree, as they say, in your suspense novels. Things could happen. You never know. All right, Love Heals the Broken. Everybody find the book, find Rachel. And this has been kind of fun, hearing that accent and hanging out with you and getting to know you. And I'm so glad your son's proud of you. He has every right to be.
Thank you.
This was fun. So I'll make you come back because I'm cruel. I'll make you come back. And we'll just do this until it's just no big deal. You'll be like, oh, radio, no big deal. I'll just come back. All right, folks. That was it. See, I told you, canned laughter and coffee. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And I hope you look up Rachel Sparks and take a look at these wonderful novels. And join us, of course, next Tuesday. If you're not snowed in somewhere, people, come on, join us live, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday night and get in a little more canned laughter and coffee, right? What's life without canned laughter and coffee? Okay, good night, everybody. Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye, everybody.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe, and welcome to our circle.